Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Nun Dalid. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Nun Gimel Amid Beis. And we're continuing to talk about the fascinating sugya of the Ksuvas Bonon Nukvan. What's the sugya of Bonon Nukvan? Back in the Mishnah, Nun Beis Amid Beis, the Mishnah told us that even if you didn't write into the Ksuba itself, it makes no difference because it's a Tanai Bezdin. Bezdin said, what's Tanai Bnon Nukvan, the third line of the Mishnah, that the Chosin says to the Kala, Bnon Nukvan, any girls, do you have a Lich Minoi that we will be Zocha to have together? You have an Yasun Bebesi, Umitzin Minachosai, Aditi Lokchun Le Guvrin. The husband says to the wife, the Chosin to the Kala, if Chas V'Sholom, I were to pass away, then you have nothing to worry about vis-a-vis yourself, because you're going to get Mezoinus and the Ksuba. But not only that, but your daughters. They can continue living in my house, rent-free. And they can go and get Mezoinus until they get married. Even if it doesn't say that in the Ksuba, it's automatic. Was tonight then?
So that we had a question a week ago or so, where we just would have to feed the katana or not. So out of age six, that's only referring then to the male children, offspring.
So with katana, katana, and then regular katana.
Then katana, and there's a question whether the father was obligated to sustain the boy children, and we said no, only until age six. But here it would appear to be that the girls would be required.
But it's only if the girls are only after the father passes away. In their lifetime, we had earlier that only out of affection does he feed them.
So therefore, okay, that's
it's only this is only post
so
post mortem.
Like the Kohen Gadol, where you should pray that the people in here and here in Mishloach daven that.
This be session.
So they say better the father should have the
son. Not God forbid. I mean, he's, the father's. But we had it's only a provision post mortem.
Number one. And number two, we're not saying that a father doesn't normally have tremendous affection for his daughters and would want to make sure that they have food and all the rest. What we're saying is that these are legal requirements, legal responsibilities.
Yes. I thought the widow gets one or the other, either Mizonas or full lump sum of the Ksuba.
Until the Ksuba is paid, she gets Mizonas.
Please don't take away my lines over here. My thunder, exactly. We're going to talk about that in great detail today. Later on in the show.
It's more to impose it on the worship than on the father.
And one other point of clarification. So we learned a doctor to maybe Friday that, like, to ransom his wife, he can use. So if he uses the money and then later on he wants to divorce her, could he say, "Oh, I used up your ketubah money to ransom you"?
Can we put that question aside for a moment, because that's not today's doctor.
Okay.
Ransoming was yesterday and the day before.
All right, I don't have a scope.
It's okay. Somebody was asking, I think Brother Shah was asking, what's the halacha about Mezoinus Bitoy? That goes back to Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. We had a Mishnah for Av Einay Chai Mezoinus Bitoy. The person does not have to go and give Mezoinus to his daughter. And then they were Madaik. Daughter, what about the son? Limar said the son, also you don't have to. So why did we mention the daughter? Because the daughter is a zilzil that she has to never go around be Choseris Alapsachim. And what about the boys? Boys, they're oski b'toyda. So there is no absolute choiva. However, there is a mitzvah, the Gemara concluded, to go be mefarnes your own children. That is talking about if you're talking about regular ketanim. If you're talking about ketanei ketanim, Tosis brought a memtes omedeis up to the age of six. Kuli alma chayv ketanei ketanim, that you do have to support them. That's a vada choiva. But now they get six or seven or older. Question is, what's the status then? So our Mishnah said it's not an absolute chayv. Now what our Gemara is telling us today is what the Mishnah told us is that if you marry a young lady, so that young lady will expect that Amir Tashem, that the husband will supply the children with food, not only once he's alive, but even Mechas Hasholem post-mortem after he passes away. And therefore the Chacham made a Tanai Bezdin, that even if it doesn't say in the Ksuba, it's an automatic implicit requirement that non nukvah, you have a lichim inoy, any girls that you can have from me, they can continue residing in the home of their late father even after his passing, they continue to receive mezainis until they get married. Anyway, that was the halacha of the Mishnah. What we're learning now in the Gemara is, what about strange situations? What do you mean by strange? Bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Bas Shnia Yesh La Mezainis. Bas Shnia doesn't mean the second daughter. Bas Shnia means the daughter of a Shniois La Aroyos. What are Shniois La Aroyos? We had that back in Masechtas Yevamos, as you will recall, that the Gemara said over there, besides Aroyos, it says, the Torah, the Chachamim added additional generations. For instance, a person is not allowed to live with his mother. Midrabanan, he can't even live with his mother's mother, with the grandmother. That's what's called Shnias. It doesn't say in the Torah. A person has to be slightly deranged anyway to go and live with his mother or grandmother. But that's a separate story. The Torah talks about mother. The Chachamim added mother's mother, and also father's mother, and also granddaughters and great-granddaughters. Well, granddaughter actually says bas benoy, bas bitoy, bas benoy, bas bitoy, but the next generation. That's called Shniyos, the additional generation, both up and below those that are set forth in the Torah. So now, the halacha is by a Shniyos L'Royos. If a person were to marry his grandmother or the like, what's the halacha? Since this is Osir Midrabanan, the Rabbanan put on a Knas and they said, you do not get a Ksuba. That is, the wife does not get a Ksuba and she does not get Mizoinais. The question is, what about the daughter? The daughter, after all, is an innocent bystander. She had nothing to do with this illegal marriage, illegal midrabanan. So now, the father passed away. Now there's a daughter. Does she get Mizoinais? Does she not get Mizoinais? What's the shot? Tap of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Given the less laksuba, less la Mizoinais. Since the whole din of Bnei Nukvan is a subset, it's a clause of the ksuba, and as we know, there is no ksuba, as we just said, because she's a shnei l'arayis. So then you don't have the small clauses of the benan lukvan also not. Unless I'm sorry. Oy dilma ima di of the isura kansura banan. Idle of the isura le kansura banan. Maybe the reason by shnei l'arayis why there would be a difference between her and the bashnia is because the Torah put a knas on the young lady for going and marrying him. Now it would seem to be problematic, because why don't we put a knas on him for marrying her? But the Gemara back in Masechta Sivamda said that since nothing happens to her in terms of becoming defiled or profaned by her going and marrying this man, therefore she has no incentive to withdraw from marrying him, and she is the one that is mesisoi. She's the one that is causing him, seducing him, pushing him, pressuring him to go and marry her, and if we put a knas on her and we say, no ksuba, no mizoinis, you're a bad lady. Okay, but if in fact they do get married and they produce a daughter, what happens to that daughter? So now when the father passed away and the daughter is remaining, even though the mommy's ksuba is non-existent, she doesn't get anything, she doesn't get a 200, she doesn't get 100, she doesn't get mizoinis. But that's because she sinned. She had no business entering into this marriage in the first place. However, the daughter, she's innocent. So maybe, says the Gemara, idli abdi isur the kosher, but maybe there's no kanas on her. So therefore, part of the ksuva remains intact. That part, which is the ksuvas banon nukval, the Gemara teiku tishbi atar. The Gemara is not pashut.
I understand why it's a teiku. It says ain lo ksuva. There's no ksuva. If there's no ksuva, there can't be any subset of the ksuba.
Very good. So it's if you ever look at modern American legal documents, there's always a clause at the end that if any of the paragraphs or provisions herein are illegal or unenforceable, that doesn't at all challenge any of the other provisions set forth in this agreement.
Okay.
So here too, he gave her a ksuba, and the ksuba looks really nice. And
it's
the
illegal.
And the person who read it at the chuppah, he had a tremendous honor and covered. Oh, Yamai, the chief rabbi for laying the ksuba. However, the whole ksuba is a nullity, perhaps with the exception of that one liner on the benon nukva. Why is the rest of the ksuba no good? Because it's a knas. But it did here. There's no reason for a knas, so maybe this remains intact after.
I don't know if it matters. Is a daughter one that the couple produced? Or is it the daughter that she brought into the marriage?
That there's a separate. We're speaking specifically about one that was produced by this chosen kallah. There are other gemaras that talk about a woman that has already a child from a zivik rishayim, and she makes up with her chosen, I will only marry you if you provide for my son or my daughter during the marriage. That's a separate thing. But that's not today's discussion. Our discussion is the specific language of the Mishnah was Benon Nukvan Ti Heaven Lichi Minoy, that you, the Kali, will have Minoy from me. How will you have from me? By the bonding of the Chasen Kali. Next tikkun, Boyi Rava, Bas Arusa. An Orus and an Arusa are not allowed to live together except in Yehuda. But we're talking about outside Yehuda. An Orus Varusa, yes, they are married, but married with a small M, not with a capital M. And that's why in English they say betrothal. Okay, the Maisa, they are husband and wife, and if he wants to say goodbye, either he has to leave this world, or she has to leave this world, or he has to write a get. However, they're not allowed to have relations until they become nisun. Tzuboy Rava, Basa Rusa. What happens if an Oris Varusa did live together? They lived together in sin, because they had no business living together. And they did. And guess what? They produced a girl, a daughter. Same question. Yechla Mazoides, Eilam Mazoides. Kiven the Isla Ksuba, Isla. Idom Kim Dolit Kinner Abana Ksuba, Chasni Suin, Laslo. So it's somewhat similar to the previous Shaila. What the Gemara is telling us is, Kiven the Isla Ksuba. Since there is a Ksuba. Now, what does that mean that there is a Ksuba? So Rashi says one of two possibilities. We really haven't had a sugya dealing with it yet, but later on, we have a test. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a machloikis whether or not the Chachamim were misakein a Ksuba for an Arusa or only for a Nesuah. Kuli Alma Moidi, however, when did they actually write out the Ksuba? That was written pre-Nisuan. It wasn't written at the time of the Eris. However, if a person wanted to, he could. After all, anybody can do whatever they want with their money. There are people that do all types of funny things with their money. So if a person wants to go and give her a Ksuba Mina Erisin, everybody agrees he can. The Machloikis only is there a rabbinic requirement and obligation to go and give a Ksuba Mina Erisin? Rabbi, good afternoon. We're on Daf Nun Dalet Omer Aleph, roughly 5-6 lines from the top of the Omer. Nun Dalet Omer Aleph.
Go on.
Yes.
Go. So we discussed a child born out of a Rusin. Mm-hmm. Does this child have any halachic shortcomings because of that?
There is a blemish on the person's neshama. However, he or she is not considered to be a mamzer or mamzeris. It's no different than any other, if you have a ponui and pnuya, a single man and a single woman that live together without the benefit of chuppah for kiddushin, it is possible for them to do that, especially if she's a nida. But without going into all the halachic ramifications, if they have a child, the child is considered to be a pogum, with a pegam in his or her neshama. However, they're not a mamzer, and therefore you're allowed to go and marry.
Is she asura to a kohen?
It should be asur the kohen.
There
is one man the yam that holds that way, but the Gemara says we do not follow that his opinion.
But she is not such a problem because they had erusin.
Exactly.
Right. So she.
I stickle begam. Very good. Okay. With a small p, a small leg. Yeah. Good. So boy rabba basarusi yeshlo mzaynis ein lamzaynis kiven the islo ksuba. Since the mother has a ksuba, how does the mother have a ksuba? Says Rashi, third line. He did it. In other words, he wasn't required. Inami, or according to the other man, the yama that holds the rabbanan tokun nami larusa, because it's a machloikis whether there's a ksuba for an erusin or not. So Rashi takes the first shot. Is everybody agrees? If you want to write an ksuba erusin, you can. So that's no problem. Or the second shot is inami rabbanan tokun nami larusa, according to man the yama that holds that there is a takonas ksuba for the arusa. But in all cases, when did they write the ksuba? The next Rashi. They would only write the ksuba out before the ksuba. So therefore, perhaps any of the stipulations and clauses inside the ksuba are only effective at the time that the ksuba is written. And since it's only written at the chasni suin, and this girl was already conceived prior thereto, so maybe the Tanoi Ksuba do not apply to her. Maybe it only applies to those girls that will be Yehevi Lichi Minoi in the future. Not that I already lived with you and produced. So the Gemara asks, Kim the Isla Ksuba Isla? After all, the Mami has a Ksuba. It says, Bona Nukvan, she's included. However, the Ksuba only is effective post the conception, the post of this bonding at the time of Erisim. And therefore, remember, what's Kufr is saying, but this Bas Arusa came on the scene as a result of their living together previously. That's maybe less law, maybe she's not covered by the Ksuba. Let's take another Tishbi time.
So we had already that if the Arusa is on her way to the Chasan and she dies, certain conditions of the Ksuba apply as far as Kfura and other things. Why are we suddenly saying, well, here the Ksuba isn't in effect? If the Ksuba is in effect for other matters,
continue on.
It shouldn't be in effect for this as well.
So if you recall, back on Mim Gimel Amud Aleph, yesterday's daf, the last few lines, there was a story, in fact, about an Oris that came into the roof and said, my Arusa never passed away, do I have to pay for the funeral expenses? Right. And the Gemara concluded at the end, no, you do not have to. If you look at the last three lines, Hamesahi, Ein Lo Ksuba, she doesn't have Ksuba, and he doesn't have a din of having to go and bury her. My time, Boishi Sheinani Koyreba, Likishinasi, the Acher, Titli Mashikosav Likhi. It all starts in the Suan times, not at the times of Edison. And again, the Gemara says, Kiyos Rabban Rish Lakish, Arusa Shemesa, Ein Lo Ksuba. And Lo Ksuba doesn't only mean she doesn't get a Ksuba, but also there's no din of Kfura at all, because the Kfura is related to the Ksuba. That's it.
So I understand why isn't it the same here? If the ksuba is only enforced at the time of the suin, why is this a question?
No, so therefore this young Arusa passed away. In our case, the Gemara that Arusa survived.
Are we saying the chasen passed away before the nisuin in this case? I mean, what are we saying here? The chasen, when did the chasen die that the estate is higher for the mazonos?
We could have given her a gift as well. Well, let's talk about that he died.
Okay, so he died. So when did he die? Did he die? He died before the Nisuin. So she had this baby before the Nisuin happened. So are we saying now?
Died post Nisuin.
So he died post Nisuin. Then they had a chuppah. So it's the.
I understand, but this girl was conceived and prior to this whole Nisuin. And so therefore, now the question is: well, whether this contract, which was written later, will it have retroactive effect to go and cover the young lady?
Okay.
Bas Anusa, Yesh Lamazonis, Ein Lamazonis. What's a Bas Anusa? We have, unfortunately, a person who was Ma'anes, a Narasura. We kept on talking about earlier on in our Masechta about paying the 50 shkolim. Yeah, that's true. But besides that, the Pasuk also says, V'loy Sili Isha, L'yucha Shalcha Kol Yomov. He has to go and take her as a wife, and he's not allowed to go and give her a get. He is stuck with her. The Gemara says that he Shoysib Atzitzoi. He went and he made his own bed for himself. If he didn't want to go and live with this lady, he shouldn't have violated this lady. He did. Okay, number one, he has to pay the 50 shkolim, and number two, he has to marry her. Good. He married her. And now, eventually, he passed away. And as a result of the marriage, together with the lady that Gizimtai, that he was ma'anis, he produced a daughter. Now the question is, Basa Lucy, Yishma Mazoinis, Aimla Mazoinis, does she get Mazoinis or not? Now, even before we talk about whether she gets Mazonis, there is a preliminary question, and that is, does the Anusa herself get a Ksuba from this fellow that was Ma'anis? The Sadimar, Ali Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda Leiti Boilach, the Amar Yesh Ksuba, Mana, Boilach Ali Rabbah. Then why is there, in fact, even a discussion about all of this? Why isn't it automatic that she gets a Ksuba? And the answer is because the Torah says that she gets 50 shkolim. The 50 shkolim, by the way, is the exact amount of the 200 zuz. Because each mana has in it
four dinners.
So you have 4 times 50. How much 4 times 50?
200.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so happy you're here.
But
yes.
If he has to marry her, so wouldn't logic say that he has to give her a ksuva?
Ksuva so he can't divorce her, to disincentivize him from divorcing.
Okay, so what you're saying is the next few lines of the Gemara.
Okay.
Great. Your discussion is the Gemara's discussion. So bottom line is, does she get a ksuba, doesn't she get a ksuba? The anusa, does she get a ksuba? The Yerushalayim says, yesh b'ksuba mana, she gets a ksuba, not a mana, not a masai, she gets a mana. The reason why it's a mana is because she's already a ba'ula. How did she become a ba'ula? Because she was originally a nara psula.
So why should she get shortchanged if she was forcibly...
Because she already got paid, the amount for the violence.
Actually, the father.
That's already taken care of. So now, unfortunately, she's a ba'ula, just like anybody else who would marry the mother. For her, also the mother.
But Shai has a good point. That 50 shekel went to the father, and the ksuba is supposed to go to her.
Yeah, that's considered to be all part
of the. But she doesn't inherit the father. It's not true. It's not. There's leakage of money here.
We'll work out the financial details later.
Hemorrhaging.
Good. But anyway, back to our Gemara. Yes, the ksuba. Kitzi ba'ilach alim edrabanan. Te'ame yotze kesef kenosa b'ksuvasa. The Rabbanan say that your yotze, the ksuva obligation of having to give the 50, by the fact that he gave the kenas already the 50. He gave in advance, so to speak. Instead of giving the ksuva at the end of the marriage, he gave the ksuva pre-marriage.
Prorated, it's not prorated,
a full amount, the full 50 shkalim, which is the full amount of the 200 zuz. She gets it early instead of getting it later, and therefore she does not get another ksuba if and when this marriage terminates. Is mine, even the lesser ksuba, less than mazoyin. Since there is no ksuba, as we just said according to Rabbanan, so then the basanusa also doesn't have. There's no ksuba. At the chasana, they're not gonna. They're gonna have one cubit less. They won't have anybody to go and read the ksuba. No ksuba. It's less than mazar. No mazar. Oh, you didn't look ksuba my time or time my. Initially, take halabei and go see it. This is what you were saying before, Barry.
Yeah.
What's the reason why we don't ask that there should be a ksuba here anyway? What's one of the main reasons for the chum masach and a ksuba? Because we don't want that if the husband is mirsach rosach, he gets angry at his wife. You burn the chulent once again. I can't eat burn chulent every single week. I can't take it any longer. And unfortunately says, I'm giving you a get and get out of here. So to act as financial incentive to keep her, he says it's going to cost you money. Oh, then I'm willing to eat burn chulent. How much is it going to cost me? 200 zuz. Well, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of chulent. I'm keeping her. So this is considered to be a deterrent, so you shouldn't go and divorce her. In the case of Anus, he's not allowed to go and divorce her. Anyway. The pasuk says, "Lo yisir le'isha lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav." So you don't need to go and have this financial deterrent of it. But he wants him up, he can't, even if he wanted to. He can't go and send her away. And so therefore, since she doesn't have a ksuba at all, maybe there's no mosaic. Or maybe just the reason why there's no ksuba is just because you don't have the swara of Kadesh Tekalimain of Leitzir. However, that has nothing to do with the Bitoi. She's an innocent bystander, so to speak, so maybe she should go and get Mazoinus after all. And once again, another take. Now, all of these shaylos that we spoke about until now were the daughter that was born to this marriage, or to this Anusa, or to the Shniya, all those cases. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about the Almana herself. So let's take again a look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, first we went through the Benon Dichrin, then we did the Benon Nukvan, and now we get to the fourth or fifth line of the Mishnah. It says, it's about the sixth of the wide lines of Nun Beis Amit Beis. In the Ksuba it says, At, you're talking again post-mortem, where the husband says to the wife, If in Chas Shalom I pass on, At Yasu the Beisi, you can continue living in my house. Umitzim Menachasa, you can continue having Mezoinis, in other words, getting food. Kol Yemei Megar Almunasecha Almunasayich Bebeisi, all the days that you continue to be an Almana in my house, Chayv Shehutanai Bezitz. Even if it doesn't say this in the Ksuba, it's implicit. Now we have to make a couple of diukim over here. Diuk number one is that the word Bebeisi is repeated twice. Ate Yasva Bebeisi Umitzirachosak Yemei Mayosecha Bebeisi. I'm focusing on that because we'll see that will have relevance shortly. Another thing is it says kol yemei meger almanusayich. That the word meger on the surface means from the Lashon lagur, to live. Here, however, the Gemara is going to say meger means that she wants to continue her relationship with her late husband as an almana. She's not shedding that relationship and saying, okay, I lost one, let's move on to the next one. No. She's so devoted to her original husband, I want to stay as an almana. As long as that occurs, then she's entitled to live there in his house and to get mezainis. We'll see more shortly in the Gemara. So, Gemara gets Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, last of the narrow lines. Tani Rav Yosef. It says in the Tanai Ksuba that we just read, he asks for Bebeisi. Darshimah Bebeisi v'loy Bebixi. Beisi means a proper, normal house. Bixi means like living inside a little closet, a very, very small shack. Meaning, what if the father unfortunately was poor and he did not have a proper, nice, large apartment or large house, but Nebuchadnezzar had a little 2x2, so now the Yorshim are saying to the mother or saying to the stepmother, the Ksuba only requires if this would be a proper house. So you can have your space, we can have our space. However, it's Bebiksi, it's such a small little shtibalik, such a small little house, that we keep on stepping on each other's toes, then that halacha doesn't apply, and therefore you're going to have to move out and go somewhere else. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef, Amazoni Isla, she, for instance, if she goes back to her parents' home, or other, wherever she goes, they go and send her care packages. They have to send her shlachmunas every day, the mazaynoi. So even though she's not living in that house because it's just too small, but they have to send her the mazaynoi anyway. She doesn't even get mazaynoi because the two act as a package deal. Once she's no longer living there because it's a Dixie and not a Basie, she doesn't get the mazaynoi. However, we don't follow Marber Ashi. What do we do follow? We do follow Rab Yosef. How does Rab Yosef know that if she moves out, that we send her care packages, we send them Zionists? Says Rashi, because of that double debasi that we have in the Lashon Naksuba. It would be enough just to say, Adahei Yasu Mabesi, Mitzim and Chosai. Why does it continue on again until Kol Yimei Amego Secha, Mabesi? We already said Mabesi. And actually, Bebesi, I darish and says, Bebesi, the law, Bebesi.
It's interesting because Bebesi is being emphatic. Bebesi, only in my house, and we're actually using that double expression to undermine the literalness of in my house exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, even if you're not in my house, it's ironic.
That's as far as the food is concerned.
As far as food, right? Say, you can, if you're on site, we'll pay for your food. But you're not.
That's Mar Barvashi.
Right.
That means only Lesla.
Right.
He also said, no. It says Basi twice. So Basi, the first time, goes and tells us that Basi Beloy the Dixie.
Right.
But the other one tells you that even if she moves, as you say, offside, she continues receiving
so
the.
So how does Ravashi explain the two Basis?
He probably says it, Dafka, if she is the Basi. If she's the Basi Beloy the Dixie, and she gets a Mazoinis if she's the Basi Beloy the Dixie. But once you're offside, it's not the Basie here, not the Basie there, then you get nothing.
You're off base.
You're off base. Off campus. Good. Amrav Nachman Amishmuel, second wide line. Amrav Nachman Amishmuel, Tabur, Li Nosev, Lis Paisa. So this is what we were talking about before, the Lashon of the Meger Almanusayach. But Gemara now learns that Meger means it's not enough that she is living as an Amana, but she's living with her heart and emotions as she's still the widow of the prior husband. As opposed to having called up Shadchanim and walking around and asking people, do you have a shidduch? It's such a very boring life being all by myself. I'm looking for a new husband, etc. So if people have now proposed to her and asked her in marriage, then it's paisa, and she agreed. So even though there was no erusin yet, certainly no nisuin yet, but she's already agreed, ein la mazoinis, the mazoinis stream ends because she's no longer that megam of the sayach. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi's in brackets. It's about two-thirds down the Amid, and it's Paisa, Sula, Karina, Ba, Mega, Amunasai. Because the word Mega means like Nigra. She's still schlepping with. Others say that the word should be Megad. So it would be a Lashon of good or ogre, that she's still attached at the hip, so to speak, to her late husband. And therefore, if she's still attached and she wants to continue in as Almana, she gets some Mazoinis. When she's taking proposals that is Paisa, it's a masha from that if she did not agree, then she would get mezayis. Says Rashi, it's beloshin bitmiya, meaning it sounds like a young man came to her and said, "I'm willing to marry you. Are you willing to marry me?" And she said, "No." What happens, however, if another young man would come to her? It could very well be that she would accept it. And therefore, the chayyur, it's not only a question whether she accepted a proposal or not. The question is she seeking men to go and propose to her? If so, maybe that should already be enough to go and sever her mezoinis requirement, or sever their requirement to supply her with mezoinis, because of the fact that she's no longer interested in remaining an almana. She wants to be a married lady. See, one wants to know, does it make a difference whether she agreed to the proposal? Or even if she didn't, just by the fact that she is looking to and listening to proposals, is that sufficient? If she declines any proposal and says, I can't. I've lived with my husband for 30 years. I'm so devoted to him. I can't. I'm sorry. I know you're a wonderful guy. You're great. Beautiful. I can't. I'm, going to stay with her. Yesh lo mezaynus. If the reason why she turned down the proposal is machmen yonim shenu buganim, well, she's not happy with the person that's making the proposal because he's too short, too fat, too small, too poor, he's just not a nice guy, whatever the reason is, he doesn't want to go and marry him. Oh, but had he had all the malice that she's looking for, she would have accepted. Because that shows that she's no longer interested in remaining a widow, she wants to move on in life to a new life.
How can you distinguish?
When she walks her shoes or something, that she's always keeping her eye out for other possible
suitors,
just in case something happens.
You never know.
How can you distinguish that she can have both motives? How can you distinguish it? She can say, I'm attached, but
and look also... Look at her emails.
Look at her what?
Her email. Or are they...
The Shadchan called up and said to the young lady, Mrs. Smith, I know that you were married for 30 years to Mr. Smith, and I know he was a great guy, but unfortunately he's not coming back alive. I recommend that you go and take a proposal. So now she says, okay, send me a few resumes. That means that she's interested.
I see, okay.
If she says, sorry, I can't, you have no idea what the relationship was with my husband, there's no person alive that comes even close, forget about it. She hangs up the phone. So that's the difference between...
Okay.
Amr of Kisa. What happens if Zinsa? Unfortunately, she's an almana. She's not accepting proposals to get remarried, but she was mezana. Now, we don't mean mezana in the classic sense of znus, because real znus, be a chiev of yiskila, a chiev of chenek, zreifa, depending on arusa, nesua, married to a koyin. Here she's an almana. She's a penuya. Zinsa means that she lived in sin.
She had a flame.
Whatever. She didn't. She lived with someone without the benefit of chuppah v'kiddush. She doesn't get, in other words, she loses her mezainus because obviously her strong feelings for her husband, for her late husband, have already faded. She's already willing to live with somebody else. On the other hand, until now, for the last year, ever since her husband passed away, she didn't apply any cosmetics. Meaning, because she was not interested in making herself attractive to potential suitors. Now, after the first yard site, or two, or three, she started smearing herself with cosmetics. So obviously the reason is because she wants to be presentable to young men. Or older men too. Anyways, in that case, the Riyasat Inla Mazayna that shows that she's leaving now her widowship, and now she's interested in new suitors. So now, is there machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Yosef? So the one, the one that said that she strayed and lived with someone, Koshkin, if she started smearing herself, then avada navada, she's interested in remarrying. Only in that case where she's applying cosmetics. Avol zinza isla, she continues getting mezainus. Why? Didn't she live with somebody else?
Since worse.
She didn't really want to go and get married. She still feels very strongly for her old husband, for her late husband. That's why she's not smearing. But you know, there was one of that sudden occasions where the Yetzirah grabbed hold of her and she wasn't able to go and push him away, and therefore she lived. But this was just a one night type of thing. But after that, she's still devoted to her husband. She's not interested in marrying anybody else. The halacha is not like any of those preceding gemaras that we just learned, but rather, what is the halacha? How long can the almana continue receiving her mezainis? Any almana after her husband passes away, she's entitled to get her ksuba. However, if she's living in the safety of her late husband's home, rent free, and getting three meals a day, what does she need her ksuba for? The reason why she would ask for a ksuba is that she should already have a bank account where she can now start preparing a dowry for a new marriage. That's why she wants to have a base of income and something that she can go and put down on her resume that, Baruch Hashem, I have a trust account for my late husband and I'm available, etc. So if she's Tavaskas Vasa Nevezin, Eilam Mazonis, that means that she has already her eye out on moving forward in a new life. Praise Mora, Veloy, you're telling me it's the Tavaskas Vasa, but Tanya Abbraisim, Mochik Suvasa, Mishkina Suvasa, Osazak Suvasa, Apointiki, the Acher. Ain lo mezayis. What is this all about? person, a woman who's so desperate for funds, when she's still married, she sold her ksuva. We had talked about this yesterday at some length, whether she sold her ksuva to her husband or she sold her ksuva to other people. Obviously, when you sell a ksuva, it only has a very speculative value, and therefore it will be heavily discounted, because a woman only gets her ksuva if her husband predeceases her, or if her husband gives her a get. If she predeceases her husband, she never gets the ksuba. So when she sells the ksuba to somebody else, it's only on that 50-50 chance that the husband will die first instead of her. No! So that's obviously, there's going to be a heavy discount on the guy. Umishku tsuvasa. She had to go and take out a loan, and the lender said, oh, no, what type of mashkin do you have? I have my ksuba. Okay, here's the ksuba, a mashkin. Apoitiki means to go and put a mortgage or a lien on the ksuba. That's similar to mishkina. So Rashi says that it's not referring to the ksuba per se, it's referring to the karka that's in the ksuba that's supposed to be the lien or the security, the guarantee for her ksuba payment. So somebody, she needed money desperately, and somebody said, well, what assets do you have? I have this futuristic asset of that karka that's inside the ksuba, that if and when my husband passes away, I'm going to be able to get from that karka. Okay, I take a lien on that property.
What's the difference between that lien and the mashka?
That's what I was saying, the two other saying. Right. So the ksuba is the paper. Right. She says, "This I give you the ksuba as the mashka," meaning that if chas v'shalom my husband passes away, you can then go and collect on the debt from this ksuba. Whatever the ksuba says, whatever the, and of course, the amount of the halva. The amount of the halva is 200, and the ksuba is 200. Instead of the 200 coming to me, the 200 is going to come to you. The next case is talking about not that she hands over the paper, but rather she refers to the karka, which is the ksuba itself.
She gives a lien.
She gives a lien on that piece of property. So the both are similar. Anyway, what's the din? And every one of those cases, ein lo mezaynus. If and when her husband passes away, she doesn't receive mezaynus. What's the reason why she doesn't receive mezaynus? Says Rashi, because the ksuba is kigovui dami. It's as if she already accepted it and she already received the benefits of it. Even though the benefits that she received is only a minuscule of what she would have received had she waited and not sold the ksuba. But bottom line is, she sold the ksuba, she gave it as a mashkin, she gave it as a pointiki, so she's already taken out the equity, if you will, from that ksuba, and she's already gotten the benefit. So therefore, if and when the husband passed away, Eilam is like, says the Gemara, it's mash, but only these three cases. Hani in Abu Tavas Lai. The Tavas Ksuba hasn't gotten the benefit of her Ksuba yet. She's asked for it, true, but she hasn't gotten it. The other three cases, or she actually got a benefit from the Ksuba. So that being the case, right to the Gemara, why does Rav Yehuda Mishmuel say, Tavas Ksuba Asa, Eilam is like this? Isn't it only if she actually was Goyve the Ksuba? Everything more, Hani, Bein, Bebezim, Bein, Shulayim, Bebezim. Those three cases, Machzuvasa, Mishkin, Machzuvasa, etc. Apoitiki is talking about even the private transaction without the Bezim being involved. In any one of those cases, she's already received the benefit of the Ksuba. Tavas Bezim, however, that's Tavka, Bebezim. If she's Tavas Ksubasa, it doesn't mean that she goes to the Yarshim and says, Yarshim, please go and give me my ksuba. That has no legal effect. She goes in the bezin and says, I want to get my... Oh, from that first moment that she began the action to claim her ksuba, then we deem her to Eilam Mezaynus. She's like the bezin. If she hasn't gone to bezin yet, Loi, she still retains her mezaynus. So what the Gemara is telling us is, this is not a kasha from the Braisa. The Braisa's cases are all talking about that it went through the Bezdin, it did not go through the Bezdin process, and all three cases, once she was Machra, Mishkina, or Apoitiki, she loses her rights in Mezaynus. The Tevas only loses her right when she shows up in Bezdin. So therefore it's a different character or color than the other three, so therefore it's a parallel, not a kasha, why it's not mentioned in the Braisa. Now we continue on the Mishnah. Right? Mishnah says, "V'kachoyu anshe Yerushalayim." So you remember the Mishnah, we had two separate minhagim as to what it said in the ksuba and as to how they were no hake. If you go back to the Mishnah again, after where we said Ateh Yasu Bebesi, the next line says, "Kachoyu anshe Yerushalayim koisven," and anshe Galil hayu koisven kan Yerushalayim. The people in Galil and the people in Yerushalayim, they all wrote it the same way. How did they write it? young lady, as long as you are an almana and she's not, she has not accepted proposals and all the things that we learned about before, as long as you are an almana in the bias of the husband, and until you remarry, mitzvah menachasa, you're entitled to get mezoinis kol yemei megal mesech. Fine. Now, think about this for a moment. What happens if she, in fact, has no desire to remarry? This could be an ongoing obligation on the yorshim for the next 50 years. She may say, I'm going to be almana for 50 years. And I'm sure we all know of women that unfortunately became widowed, and they were widowed for 50 years. So then the children, the yorshim, are going to have to go and, it doesn't have to be her yorshim, it could be, these could be stepchildren from another marriage, from another wife. And therefore, they're going to have to continue giving her mezainis forever. Fine, but that's what it says in the Tanai Ksuba, and that's what they're stuck with. That's the dip, and that's the minig in Yerushalayim and in Galil. However, Anshi Yehuda Hayukoisim, Anshi Yirzu Hayorshin Litin Lach Ksuba Seich. They didn't leave it up to her, they left it up to them. And therefore, Lafichem Ratzi Yorshin Naisla Ksubasa, Upaychen Naisa. Instead of waiting until she's Tevas Ksubasa, they can go into Bezdin and say, Bezdin, we want to give her her Ksuba. She doesn't want to receive it. We want to give it to her right now because we want to stop this mezoinis stream that we're giving her. And she has, by the way, a very voracious appetite, and she's eating us out of home and out of food.
House and home.
Good. So therefore, they could go and cut it short by giving the tzuva whenever they want to. So you see, there's a major nafkamina between these two menhagim, whether she can keep on eating forever or whether they can cut it short whenever they so desire. So what do we do? Itmar. Rav Amalok Anshihuda, look like Anshihuda, that the Yorshim can cut the Mezoinah stream short whenever they are ready. Shmuel Amar Halok Anshigol, we paskin like Anshigol. No, she has the right to continue eating Mezoinah as long as she wants. Now, what did they do? Halok Alamaisa Rav and Shmuel. Bavel Vachol Parvada, Bavel and all of its suburbs and all of the adjoining region, Noi Karav, they all feel like Rav. Nehedon Vachol Parvada, no, Shmuel, and Barry will tell us because Shmuel
lived in Nardah, Shvile
Shemaim, Shvile Nardah. Nehirin li Shvile Derekia, Nardah. So since Shmuel was the godl in Nardah, so Nardah and all of its suburbs, all were Noheik like Shmuel. So now they want to tell us, he bas Mechoyza, there was a lady that came from Mechoyza. Mechoyza was part of Bovel, Vachol Parvada, not part of Nardah. So it was a bas Mechoyza to have the Sival in Nardah, but it was a mixed marriage. She was someone who lived in Bavel v'chol Parvada, and she married someone from Nehedo v'chol Parvada. Okay, and then what happened? Unfortunately, the husband passed away, and now she's alive, and now she wants to continue eating and eating and eating, and the Yorshim want to say, stop, stop, stop. What do we do? Also, the Kamei de Rav Nachman, they came in front of Rav Nachman, Shomu l'kola de bas mechoizi. They were able to tell by her
accent,
by her dialect, that the way that she comes from Mechoizah, and therefore, he said, Omulahu, Babuchabavada, Noi Karaf. No, you're like Rav's Minig. And Rav's Minig was a lot Anshi Yehuda. Anshi Yehuda would go and cut it short by putting in the Ksuba until the boys decide we're going to give her Ksuba. Shoy? So therefore, if the boys want to give you your Ksuba now, you lost your right to Mazayas. Omrulay, Molinadon Nasiba, but she was married to a Nerdoyan, which they fizach like Shmuel. Where Shmuel said that we paskin like the Anshi Goni, Anshi Yerushalayim, that she could keep on eating indefinitely. I didn't know that. Therefore, you have taken the halacha like Shmuel, and you can keep on eating and eating and eating. But how far did the suburbs of Nehedo go? What's Kaba Nehedo? Says Rashi, this was a particular measure that they used in Nehedo, which was probably slightly larger, smaller than the measure in other communities. And so therefore, as long as any one of these suburbs used the Nehedoyim measures as opposed to using measures from other communities, it's a chasim, and they're still under the aegis auspices, they're still the region of Nehedoyim. Once you go to a city which is no longer using those kavim, but using other measures, is a simon that the influence of Nehedoyim has waned and faded, and therefore now you're part of the rest of Bavel, the Chol Parvada. Okay, new shtickle, you can put two dots over here, we start something new. We know that you have to go and give 200 or 100 as the ksuba to the almana. The question is, can we go and take a discount or a credit for clothing that she received from her husband when they were still living together, when he was still alive. He once bought her a beautiful, beautiful wedding gown, which is really grand, and you can still use it, and it's still worth a lot of money. Can you go and take the value of that wedding gown and subtract it from the 200 that the Yorshim have to pay? And this is again a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Itmar, Almana. Rav, Omer, Shomin, Mashalel. Yes, you are allowed to go and assess. I'm sorry?
To deduct.
You can deduct. First you assess. The word shaman means to go and appraise the value. You'll go and give it to a dressmaker and say, oh, this gown, I haven't seen a gown like this in years. It's worth at least 50 zuz. The whole suba is 200 zuz. 200 minus 50. How much is 200 minus 50? 150. I'm so happy here. 150.
Doesn't the marriage contract says that he has to supply her?
The lowest, right. By Kushera. And the blows and everything.
No question about it. As long as they're married. It's not only the marriage contract. Sheira k'susa v'inasa lo yikha. He has to supply clothing.
Right.
And he supplied the clothing. And she had clothing most magnificent. It was from Christ. Yamko Klein, whatever the name is. Calvin Klein, yeah.
Calvin.
Oh, I mean Calvin.
So if that's part of the contract, the supplying of the clothing, so how can we double dip and now use it to take away, to deduct from the...
Okay, so we're going to discuss this shortly in the Gemara.
Okay.
But the Svara of Shaman Mashallah is, as long as they are alive and living together, Avada, he supplies her with clothing. He's no longer interested that she has beautiful clothing after he passed away. He's now in the Olam Habas. So therefore, according to Rav, this obligation to give clothing is when they are still married.
What do you mean? Well, once he kicks the bucket, isn't he interested that she continue being happy, and if that means via clothing? Meaning, once he's dead, doesn't he still care that she should continue living?
You can't ask him. The sentiments may be there.
No.
The halach is otherwise, according to Rav.
Money.
No, because the way he made it sounds like once he kicks the bucket, he has no interest in her continuing to live the level of...
It's the Yorshim. We never talk about him. He's gone. It's the Yorshim. Do the Yorshim have a right to penalize her?
Not penalize her.
Deduct.
Deduct, exactly. She has this beautiful dress, a beautiful gown. Presumably, she wanted to, she can go and sell it to someone else, mm-hmm. to another kala, to another machtenista or something, get her 50, let her sell it, and that'll be a credit towards the 200. That's Rav. Obviously, you don't feel that way, and the Shmuel holds like you. The Shmuel Amar ain't shaman mashallah. No, no. The clothing that she got, she receives it, she holds it, she takes it. That is not
personal effects.
Well, it's a bookshop, you know, why? It's just rental property on her?
No, we had a thing that when a guy goes bankrupt, when a man is you don't take his tools.
That's an extra one. That's it. You mummish it the next couple of lines. Rabbi says v'chilufa, the very reverse machloket between Rabbi and Shmuel is belokit. Lokit means the article refers to it as a field hand, meaning not your normal regular worker, but someone who doesn't even get a regular salary, but rather the master of the field, whatever, goes and gives him work clothing or other types of clothing together with meals and says, okay, if you work in my field, you have here a set of clothes, here's food. So what happens now if eventually they terminate the relationship and he says, okay, look it, you did a great job, now find another job somewhere else. Can the original owner take back that clothing and say, we gave it to you as long as you were working for me, now you're no longer working for me, I want it back. So Rav that said, Shom Mashallah, that in case of the wife, in case of the almana, we deem it as if this is the clothing was only there at the time of the marriage. The marriage is over. Give me the clothing back, so to speak.
Right.
And since she's not going to give it back, so therefore we're going to take that as a credit. I'm sorry?
Yeah, deducted from the tzuba.
Deducted from the tzuba. That's according to Rav. He says, however, the guy with the lock, it's the other way around. When he gave him the clothing, that was part of his salary package, part of his benefits. I'm going to give you a set of clothing. And he knew that eventually that this is going to end. He's not going to continue working for him for the next 100 years. So whenever he leaves, he takes the clothing with him. It's therefore that he doesn't have to return it, so to speak. He doesn't have to give him pay for it. That's according to Rav. According to Shmuel, it's the other way around. Shmuel said that since there's a mitzvah tak of she'er k'sus v'inasa, when he gave his k'sus, that k'sus is hers forever and ever, even after he passes away. That's now her personal effects, his personal belongings. Masha'en came. The costume or the uniform that he gave is as long as he's going to work for me. you're going to work for, you're going to be my doorman at my building, you get the doorman's clothing, the doorman's uniform. Once you quit and you go somewhere else, then you leave the uniform back for the next for next doorman, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so that's the Svarim Chibara. Rav Kahana Masli Bechaim Belokit. Rav Kahana said, no, the identical machloket between Rav and Shmuel, Legabi, the case of the Almana, is the same case Legabi the Lokit, such a field hand, whether or not you have to give the clothing back or not. Umanach Basimna. And Rav Kahana said that Rav that said Shaman Masha Leo, he put a simon on. What was the simon? Both Yasma, the Amalta, Sholach Upaik. The Yasma that we're referring to is not a Yosim, we're referring to the Lokit. The reason why the Lokit is considered to be a Yosim, because we're treating him like a Yosim. In which way we're treating him like a Yosim? Because we're saying, you have to, and according to Rav, literally, you have to take your clothing off since you're moving on. Don't go out naked, you should go and put on, obviously, other clothing. But the point is, in that sense, he's treated like a Yosim. So if you look at Rashi, the first wide line, Yasma, it says Lokit. The Lokit here is called Yasma. Why is he called Yasma? So you have the Tosis Rid here on the side, in the margin. If you go to two lines before the end, very on the left-hand margin, you see in the middle of the line it says, Pirish, if Shitum of Godov, Vietze, let him remove his clothing and go home. Kaloimar Shaman Masha Olav, again we assess the value of the clothing that the Lokit is wearing. Vikar Le Yasma, why is he called the Yasma? Avshem Shanoya Gimboi Minig Yasmin. He's never like a Yosim, like an orphan. Yeah. It has nothing. It doesn't have food, doesn't have clothing, it doesn't have a home, he doesn't have parents. Never a Yosim. So the Lokit in that sense too, he's leaving without clothing. Again, we don't mean literally, but we mean figuratively. So getting back to Agamara, so this would be the Simon, the Yasma, the Lokit, and the Almalta, and the Almana, both Shlach. Shlach means undress, not literally. Upoik and leave. So they were in both cases, Rav holds. According to Rav Kahana, we give a credit for the value of the clothing. Even though I have a right from the Mishnah, like Shmuel, but the law is like Rav. What's the lie to Shmuel? The name is under the Mishnah. This is what Barry was quoting before. What happens if a person is Makdish all of them in the Chosid? He says, I'm Makdish on all to Bedek Abayis. Or Echad Marach is Atzmai, a person says, Erki alai or Erech Poini alai, and now we have to go. He hasn't paid, and the Gizbar goes to his house and says, "Nu, pay, give me all the nechassim that you are makdish, or give me the value." Or in the second case, the case of Kemarchas Atzmai, assuming that the person was between the ages of 20 and 60, we have to pay 50 shkalim. Nu, pay the 50 shkalim. They chanished, so I'm going to start taking some of your karak or metalton or whatever. Zok to Mishnah. He's not allowed to go and take away any of the wife's clothing or any of the children's clothing because it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to them. Right. Not only that, what happens even if he didn't produce the clothing yet, but rather we took the fabric and they were tzoveya and they dyed it for the purpose of giving to a tailor to go and make into a dress or whatever. Also, that's already theirs, it's not his. The Gizbar cannot take those. Not with new sandals and shoes. Shelokach lishman, that he bought for them, for his wife, for her kids. All these things are untouchable, they don't belong to him. So what do I see lechayra from this Mishnah? Lechayra that Shmuel is right, that it belongs to her, and that's why the Gizbar can't take it. And Shmuel said, Ein shaman mashalev, it's hers. Once the husband gives it to her, that's it. That's a permanent, in perpetuity. And so therefore, if Chas v'Shalom, he passes away, can't take that as a credit against the 200. So Chayav have a nice Mishnah like Shmuel. Nevertheless, what did Rav Nachman say? Even though I have a right to Shmuel, the Loch is like Rav, someone like Rav Nachman. If I have a right from a Mishnah, right. Shmuel, am I a Rav? Right. Amalei, he said, L'choyre k'shmuel riyata. When you learn it superficially, yes, the Mishnah certainly sounds like Shmuel. However, k'ma'ayin is bo. When you start thinking about it, k'ma'ayin, you'll see that Lachos like Rav, even notwithstanding this mission, my time. When a husband goes and buys for his wife beautiful clothing, that's because he wants her to be attractive to him. So as long as they are married, he buys her nice gowns and nice outfits and nice clothing and nice dresses. Sure, that's Lamekim Kameh. However, after they are no longer married, because if Chas v'Shalom he passes away, get whatever. He's no longer interested. She should look attractive to other people. Why do you be attractive to me? And there, I know you don't like this.
No, but I'm saying, isn't there the whole idea to make the wife happy by buying her stuff? So the only reason he's buying stuff to make her look good for him. But
I want her to be happy.
It's not a great marriage if he's not doing things to make her happy and it's just for him. It's very selfish.
Hold on. If it were a divorce and not a death,
could
we make the same arguments? If it's divorce, could you make some arguments and say, I'm gonna give you, I owe you $100, $200, whatever it is. I'm gonna deduct the wardrobe you bought last year because it's not for me.
I would think that you have a much stronger argument.
Right.
Ariel might agree. Right. Now I hear you.
Right. So divorce. Is it true in a divorce? Is this argument made in a divorce?
It's a very good question. More starts with Almana, Rav, and Shmuel.
Right, because if it's by Grusha, then I can say, okay, Grusha, yes, but Almana. But if it's not by Grusha, it's certainly not by Almana.
Maybe we'll have it later in our Masechta. Maybe we'll have it again.
So are you supposed to do things to make your wife happy or not? I mean,
definitely supposed to make your wife happy.
So Rob,
and Mietchum, I wish you should soon have a wife and make her happy, and she make you happy.
Not make her do stuff for me.
Well, no, it's a mutual. What's a minute's meaning? She should do for him. He should do for her. They should both live a wonderful life.
It's a makkah b'chagecha. It's no base amidish kaim. How do you make your wife happy? Buying her color and clothing.
Absolutely. All the Gemara says is Reb Nachman. The happiness that the husband wants to instill in his wife for her benefit and his benefit as long as they're together. Once the marriage dissolves, the husband is not so interested, and therefore if the Yoshim want to, they can go and take that as a
question. I have a different question. Rav and Shmuel, we say
halacha for Rav Yisr.
By Yisr, right?
Right.
By Shmuel, by Mamonas. This is Mamonas. Mamon, it is, we should go like Shmuel on that.
And we have a Mishnah like him too.
Okay, yeah, but that's superficial Mishnah.
Okay, so maybe
no superficial Mishnah.
I see
that the superficial reading.
If you want to, after the shir is over, please look at the last choices. I see he talks about the halacha, why we don't pass by Shmuel, like Rav, Ayin Shah. Back to our Gemara now. Five lines at the bottom of the Amid. Kaltze de Be'er Bar Elishev, Yashiv, Havakotovik Suvasam Yasmi. We have a situation over here, we're following up with this machlokes here at Rav and Shmuel about whether you can take a credit or cannot take a credit for the clothing. So the Kaltze de Be'er Bar Elishev. Kaltz means she was at one time the daughter-in-law, and apparently the son passed away, and now the daughter-in-law is there, and the Yorshim are paying for her mezainis, as well as they have to go and give her a ksuba. And now the question is, when we're talking about ksuba, can they go and take a deduction and a credit for the clothing? As we'll see in the So Kaltz Beit of Yashiv Havakah Tovik Suvasa Miyasmi. She demanded payment of the ksuba from the assignment, and for whatever reason they dilly-dally, so they're coming in front of Beis Din. I want my ksuba. Have a kamamti lehu lebeit dinah. So she summoned them to Beis Din. Amri, and they said to her, Zilon milza de tizli hachi. We don't want to go to Beis Din with you in the way you're going, because unfortunately you're wearing tattered clothing. It's an embarrassment, a humiliation for the whole family to be in your presence in Beis Din when you're wearing this tattered clothing. So, okay, if that's your
bad
problem.
Guys.
Yeah, well, let's just find out.
You're setting her up.
What did she do? Livishtina, she went home and she took off the tattered clothing and she put on her nicest, most beautiful clothing. Vichsasinu, Likulimana, all the clothing that she had. Some beautiful scarves and some beautiful outfits and this and that. She wore everything. And together with a beautiful cape made out of a fur cape or whatever, you know, she should really look really.
$1 million.
$1 million. Also, the coming to me, they came in front of him. He said to them, you can go and see all this beautiful clothing that she's wearing. You can go and take that as a deduction, as a credit. And in fact, what do you think they did? That's what they did. So now, this in fact was a haruma on their part.
Absolutely.
They wanted her to go and bring in all of her finery so that they should be able to take that as a credit. What they were concerned about is she came with a tattered clothing, that she was hiding all of her beautiful clothing somewhere in the back of a closet or the back of the dresser or somewhere, so that if and when the bezin says, well, let's appraise her clothing, they'll send appraisers and they won't find half of the clothing because she hid it in the attic, she hid it in the back of the closet, whatever. Therefore, this was a ruse to have her to put on all of her beautiful clothing, and that's what she did. Now they were able to appraise all of it and take all of it as a credit against the 200. Talk to Moravite. Ahud Yamalu Netunya Librat. Zol Nidunya. What happened was, a person says, a father left a nun, a dowry for his daughter. Zol Nidunya. Over time, the value of that nun went down in price. Zol Nidunya, Amr of Idi Barabin, Urna Liyasmi. They get the benefit. Now what does all of that mean? If you look at Rashi on the last two lines, the Dunya Labrat, the last line, Ketsuvim Hoyu Tachshite Abonis, Kach, the Kach, Levushim. That both the Tachshitim and the Levushim, they have a particular value at the time of the marriage, the dowry that was given, the Tachshitim, the Levushim, that's the father that gave to the daughter. And now what happened was, 20 years later, the marriage is over.
Depreciation.
And since all the doing it, the nod went down in value. What happens now? It's not the assignment's problem that it went down in value. They profit. What it means that they profit? Look at the last Rashi. Porn aliasmi. Harevach li assignment. Veloyamrinan nasiv lo demei hanadunya kiyoim hatzava. When it was originally written in the original tzava or the original tzuba, whatever. I may not even be talking about a tzuba over here because it talks about a father and a daughter. So the father wrote down to the daughter, in the tzava, I'm setting aside the following metaltlin, the following karaka, or whatever. Rashi talks about the tachshitim and the levushim, that this will be your nut. So she is at the time 10 years old, and Mi'at Hashem, when you get of age, and the shadchanim go and read you a shidduch, and Mi'at Hashem are going to get married, you're going to have these tachshitim, you're going to have these levushim, you'll take it along, and the husband will be very happy, this will be the nadin, this is great, and this is wonderful. Now, from the time that the father passed away, until she finally got married, was 3 years later, 5 years later, the tachshitim and levushim were no longer as valuable as they were at the time of the original tzava, and so therefore she's saying, I want you to go make up the difference. Anybody knows that 3 years ago, these tachshitim and these levushim were worth $5,000. Unfortunately, today they're only worth $3,000. Can you cough up another $2,000, my fellow Yorishim, so that I'll have a proper nun to be able to go and be of marriageable...
She's talking to her brothers,
right,
or half-brothers.
Right, or she's talking to other Yorishim of her father. This is not a money situation. This right. is an unmarried woman dowry situation.
So it appears. Okay. Right. Because Rashi talks about the Tzavah, he doesn't talk about the Ksuba. So, what's the din now? Says the Gemara... since the nadim went down in value, but it wasn't cash that went down in value. We're talking about metaltel went down in value. Poorly asked me, so they profit, meaning they don't have to come up with new monies and make up the difference in shortfall between the value that it was 3 years ago and the value today, because she still has those tzachshit, she still has the levushim. Right. Take them and exactly. Now we have a similar situation. Haudi amalahu, a person that said to them, apparently saying to his sons. My daughter, your half sister, maybe wasn't even a sister at all from a different marriage, whatever. He's saying, Arba me'ezuzim min chamra lebrat. See this supply of wine that I have here in the wine cellar. I want you to take from the value of this wine and give for my daughter a nadin of 400 zuz. What happened to Yaka Chamra? From the time that the person passed away until she was ready to get married, Baruch Hashem, the wine aged, and as you know, old wine, assuming that doesn't get sour, is considered to be a real delicacy, a real, and then you can get for old wine of 100 years ago more than you can get of wine that's only a year old. So the chamra has now gone up in value. So now what happens now? Maybe she profits by that. Maybe she can get more than the 400. Rav Yosef, Rav Chali asked me. No, there's nothing to do with her. Since the father doesn't say, he didn't say she takes 5 barrels of wine. 400 zuz from the value of this wine. So the wine at the time that he passed away was worth $10,000. Now the wine is worth $20,000. But she gets her same Arbamei Zuzi that hasn't changed. They get the
Rebacha. But if the price level of wine went up and the price level of everything else went up, the Arbamei Zuzi is not worth the purchasing power.
That's true. They are the ones that profit and okay. She does not profit. Okay. Had he put in a CPA adjuster or something.
Cola, cost of living adjuster.
Exactly. Had he put that in, that would be different. But it's Danish. There was no cola at that time. No Pepsi Cola, no Coca Cola. Right. Kravid Rabbi Yochanan Havaluhu Itis Abba, the Havakam Ifsida Mezaini. There was a Korov of Rabbi Yochanan who had an Itis Abba, the wife of his father. In other words, apparently it wasn't his mother, but it was a stepmother, a second Zivig or whatever. And Baruch Hashem, she had a voracious appetite. Rashi says, Mar Belecho. She would eat, and she would eat, and she would eat, and she would eat. And he wants to cut it. You know, I don't want her to continue eating. Asked the comment of Yochanan, so the Karev comes to Yochanan for an Eitza, Amlu, and he said to them, Ezilu, V'amrulei le'avuchayn, T'niyachin lo, Ara le'mezoyna. I have a good idea. Go and tell your father. So again, we're talking about, I guess, a situation where the father was still alive. Obviously, otherwise, he couldn't tell the father. Let him go and set aside a particular piece of land for her mezainis. So if and when he passes away, and she's going to eat and eat and eat, she'll go and eat from that piece of land, and therefore won't affect the rest of the estate. And this way, we'll try to restrict and limit her.
Put a ceiling on it.
Oh. Also, they come to Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish listened to what he said. Amalahudi said, it's worse. It's gotten worse. Why? Because she has the benefit of her ksuba that says she can continue eating and eating and eating. And now in the tzava, the husband left for her, besides that, another piece of land. That's not a substitute. That's an addition. She now has two sources of mezainis. The one underneath the ksub itself, and now under the tzavah that he's given her a new piece of property. Amrulei, for Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hachi, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with you. Rabbi Yochanan, your brother-in-law, your Rebbe, he said no. He said that you can restrict her to the mezainis, the value of this property. Amrulehus, he said to them, Zilu Havula, I want you to go and give her whatever mezainis she wants, both from the tzavah and from the ksub. And if you don't listen to me, I'm going to go and extract Rabbi Yochanan from your ears. It's an expression that you find in the Gemara from time to time. What he means to say is, this halacha is like, I'm telling you. Don't start telling me Rabbi Yochanan said this, and Rabbi Moshe said that, and Rabbi Yaakov said this, and the Stipler said that. Da, da, da. This is the halacha. Don't ask any questions. And he also came to Rabbi Yochanan. Did you hear what Rish Lakish said? Amlehu, he said to them, Ma'esa, shekenegdi cholikolei, what can I do? Rish Lakish is my peer, even though Rish Lakish was originally his Talmud, but Rish Lakish became his brother-in-law, and now he's Ola Ligdula, and that's why we find throughout Shas so many machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said, if Rish Lakish is the Rosh Bezin over here in this Bezin, and that was his decision, I'm stuck, you have to follow his decision. But Omer Bavo, the Dinim of Ashley Yonet, Rabbi Yochanan. Afterwards, Rabbi Yochanan, or I understood from Rabbi Yochanan differently in this whole sugya. If you go back to the third, fourth line from the top, it said, they came in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, go and set aside a piece of land for her mezainis. So therefore, says Rabbi, if he said that, tell father to be meyache to set aside a piece of property in the tzavah for her mezainis, limezainis, then she has taka two avenues to collect, both under the tzavah and under the ksuba. Or bimizainis, if he says, I'm giving you this piece of property, bimizainis, then kotzla mizainis, he meant to be a substitute for the one inside the ksuba. So it depends on what lashon you use. Why is bimizainis different? You see the last Rashi in the parak, bimizainis, bechoiv mizainis sheyesh loch olai, the choiv mizainis that you have already on me, this should be mashe shezu to eper on the kach. This is how I'm going to pay you in advance for the ksuba requirements of mezainis. I give you this piece of property, segregated, limited, restricted for you. Even though the minimum is 200 and 100, if he wants to add, we can add $1 million, whatever you want. The Gemara is going to ask, pshita, my kamashla. Of course, if you want to give more, the Gemara is going to ask that. Next case, this armlin is garshin. If again this question, this armula minhu erisin really depends on, according to one man the yomer, all arusois got ksubois just like nesuois, or according to man the other man the yomer holds only if he wrote a special ksav ksuba for his.
What is the word nesarmula?
Widow. She became a widow. The word nesarmula is the no problem. It's the Aramaic. As if it would say nisalmana, nisarmana. Okay, so we came in almana or niskar. So the question is, does now the ksuba itself says the 200 or the 100, and it says as well the toisus ksuba, whatever he was moisif, $1 million, $100, whatever he put it. The question is, what does the arus and the suah receive? So says the Mishnah, regardless of whether she was an almana or a grusha from the Eirus and from the Nisuin, goyve sakot, she gets everything. So you're right. When Eirus and psula goyve masayim, almana, mana, but not the toisvis. Why not the toisvis? Because of lel manas lekoytze. The whole reason why he gave her that additional $1 million, $1,000, whatever it was, to endear her to him and him to her, because they're soon going to be in Nisuin, they're going to be an intimate family relationship. But we never got to that point. Unfortunately, he died or gave her a get when he was still in Aris. Therefore, you don't have to give the Tosefis, you only have to give the Mano or Masai.
You said before that it was only if he was punished, right? Did you say that by the...
And that's what the Mishnah said now, too. Elo Mas L'Koinza. And since they would, unfortunately, they never got to that point of Koinza, so the Mano or Masai you get, but she does not get that additional
Tosefis.
This is, again, so that's what I was saying before, and then we had a question about Nisarmala. We have Machloikis mentioned later on the Masech, there'll be a Daf Pei Tes, I believe. The Gemara is going to have a Machloikis, whether they were Mesaken, a Ksuba for an Arusa. But even according to Maniyama, that holds that they were not Mesaken, a Ksuba for Arusa, he holds that if he gave a Ksuba for Arusa, it's effective. It's a good Ksuba. You didn't have to,
so
but if you want.
That's not part of
the Exactly, it's not the Nai Bezin, therefore. If he wants to be Moisef, that's good, but that Hoysaf, according to this Man Yamar, would only be effective that you can only collect it if there was ultimately a Nisuin. The Tanakhama says even without Nisuin. Now, the next Rebbe Yudah we just had a couple of days ago, Rebbe Yudah Omer, Imratza Koysev Lepsula Shtar Shol Masayim, Vikoysev says Kabalti Memcha Mana, Ulama Mana Mana, Vikoysev says Kabalti Memcha Chamishim Zuz. What happens if the Chosn says to the Kala, I can't afford 200? And she says to him, it's okay, I'll take you for 100. Okay, but I don't want to go and write out in the ksuva that I'm only giving you 100. Can you imagine the person who's going to read the ksuva at the chuppah? Number one. And or people are going to say, wow, cheapskate, he's only giving you 100, he's getting 200. So she's mocheles on half of the ksuva, and she gives him a written shover, a written receipt in advance. So he gave 200, I already got 100, you only owe me 100. Or by an almana, you owe me 100, I give you a shoiver, a receipt for 50, only owe me 50. So you can do that, says Rebbe Moichalas. A mayor, oimikal, a poichas, psul, sign, mana, mana, arizubi, ilas. You can't do that. You have to go the full 200 for 100. We discussed earlier whether it's in fact a machloikas or mayor of Yehuda. Maybe Rebbe Yehuda also agrees to a mayor, as long as he didn't do this kabalti. Anyway, Mitchum will have more in the Gemara. So, Gemara Pshita, we start off the Mishnah by saying that if you want to be Moisef, no Pshita, of course you want to be Moisef, in fact. The Gemara the same, in Kitsus of the Rabban Shalei, the Vaisha Misha, Eloi. I would think that the Chachamim made a limit, not only a minimum, but also a maximum. Because if you're going to go and allow people to be moisiv, so then the next chasana, somebody's going to go and say, I give a million. The other one say, oh.
So they spend it on the orchestra and on the flowers.
So you don't want to even mavayish misha. So I would have thought you cannot add, it's got to be a set amount. Well, no, you can add as much as you want, and you're not going to mavayish anybody else by adding whatever you want. We'll stop over here because it starts to move. So yeah, have a wonderful day.
I have a question.